Again, it's so good to see you here tonight. Glad you're able to come. I trust you can come back again. We're going to be continuing the rest of this week, Monday through to Friday, each evening at 7 o'clock, and then again next Sunday at 7 o'clock in the evening. And if there is any interest, we're prepared to continue at least into a second week. So we trust that you will come along and that God will bless you through the Word of God. So Romans chapter 1, please. And we're just going to read one verse, and that's verse 16. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek," or the non-Jew. "I am not ashamed," he might have said, "for I am proud of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And without doubt, God will best to each heart his own precious word. So again, it's good to see you here tonight. Trust that God will bless you through his word. You know, the gospel is a blessing to the believers too. No one loves to hear the gospel better than those that already know the truth of it. But it could be a very special day in your experience if you don't yet know him, that you might come to know him this evening. Now, if you were not familiar at all with the preaching of the gospel, and you were to come along for the first time to a series of gospel meetings, you might hear us use a variety of terms, such as salvation, being born again, being reconciled to God, being redeemed. And you might think that this is a variety of ways in which we can come to know God in our lives. But really it isn't. They all come down to the same meaning, really, but with a difference of emphasis, okay? So this evening, what I want to speak about is this word, salvation, or saved. I don't know if you've ever had someone say to you quite bluntly, "Are you saved?" I guess there would have been a time in my life if someone had said that to me. I would have been very confused. I would have had no idea what that person was talking about. But it's something that I'm very happy to speak about tonight, how God saved me. Not that that's what I'm intending to do, but I would be very happy to do so. The word saved is not really an old-fashioned Bible word. It's a word that's still used every day today. Now, the illustration that I have very often used in this connection takes us back to when my wife and family and I, we lived in the British Isles. And there was an occasion when a young family went out in a sailboat into the ocean. And they got lost at sea. And they sent out various ships in order to try and find this family. And they looked for days and they couldn't find them. But one day, a ship just happened to be passing where this sailboat was. They were totally lost. They didn't know how to find their way back. And they were brought on board this ship. And the television personalities all came along and interviewed this family. And I can remember hearing the husband say this, "I can hardly believe that we've been saved." Now, he wasn't talking about the salvation that we're talking about tonight. But whenever you use the words saved or salvation or savior, it implies one or maybe two things. Number one, It implies a danger to which we stood exposed. Number two, hopefully, it implies a danger from which we have been delivered. A danger to which we were exposed, and a danger from which we have been delivered. So I want to speak, first of all, about the necessity of salvation. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 we read, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." We must be saved. I remember a little preacher that we used to have in Wales by the name of Aneurin Ward. He was a short, very overweight man, but he used to love to preach from John chapter 3, the new birth. And he used to say, "The Bible is a very musty book, because it says in John chapter 3, ye must be born again. And it says in John chapter 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Those are two musts that the Bible teaches us. And we've got a must here. First of all, we have a unique Savior. None other name under heaven given among men, none other name other than Christ, whereby we must be saved. In other words, you will never see heaven's fair shores unless there is a moment in your life when you are saved, when you come to understand that as a sinner you are lost and on the way to hell. And if you find yourself in that dreadful place, you will get exactly what you deserved. But there was one who was willing to die in your stead, that a soul so unworthy might live, and the path to the cross he was willing to tread. I can't think of the rest of it right now. All the sins of your life to forgive. Right. Thank you. So, salvation is a must. Can I ask you a question? Can you remember a moment in your life when you were saved? I mean, in this sense of the word, the Bible sense of the word. Not saved from drowning at sea, or saved from being run over by a truck, or anything of that nature. Can you recall a definite moment in your life when Christ became your Savior? I'm not asking if you remember a date. It's conceivable that you could have a date on your calendar that you refer to in this regard, but don't even know Christ as your Savior. Can you remember an event that happened in your life? Not when you saw words written across the sky or saw some tremendous miracle take place. You could see things like that perhaps and never know Christ as your Savior. But a moment when the Savior of the world became yours. I can remember it. It was 60 years ago, 64 years ago, sorry, last month, the month of September, the early hours of a Tuesday morning. I don't know what date it was in September. All I know, it was the early hours of a Tuesday morning. With a rifle slung across my shoulder and a live round up the bore, I got down on my knees as a young soldier on the island of Cyprus, and I trusted Christ. And that moment, a joy came into my life that I had never known before. And even though maybe sometimes it fades, it's never gone away. Can you remember such an occasion in your life? If you haven't, it's the most important thing that could ever happen in your life. Ye must be saved. Then I want to speak about the provision of salvation. The provision of salvation. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the reason for which Christ came into the world, with the specific objective of saving sinners. You say, well, what about good people? Did he come to save good people? Well, he did come to save people that may think they're good. He certainly came in order that he might save all who will confess eventually that they are sinners. But you know, no one ever got salvation until they came to the realization that they have sinned against God. That's why Christ came into the world. He came to save sinners. How did he save sinners? Well, John 3:16 puts it this way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why God sent his Son into the world, in order that sinners might come to an understanding of their need, and that they might come to know him. But Christ didn't save sinners just by coming into the world. Have you ever noticed that we really don't know the proper date for Christmas Day? We commonly celebrate it on December the 25th, but we really don't know. In fact, it's very unlikely that it was December at all, because the shepherds were watching over their flock by night outdoors. They wouldn't be doing that in December, not even in Israel. It can be bitterly cold there in Israel in December. But we do know when he died. We know he died on the day of the Passover. Well, why do we know when he died, but we don't know when he was born? For the simple reason that the most vital point was not his birth, although his birth was essential. It was his death upon the cross that made salvation available to you and me. I don't know if you're familiar with the Bible, but if you are, you will know this, that the Bible says there was darkness over all the earth from the 6th to the 9th hour. In our terms, that's 12 noon until 3 in the afternoon. And about the 9th hour, Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, he knew the answer to that question. He didn't ask that question because he didn't know why. He asked that question that you might ask that question. Why was he forsaken on the cross? He was forsaken because in those hours of darkness, he was enduring the wrath of God against sin. Not his sin, because he had no sin. He was the only sinless man this world has ever seen. But he died on account of our sins. The Bible says, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Isaiah said, about 750 years before the event took place, God has laid upon him, Christ, the iniquity of us all. And there in the darkness of the cross, Christ suffered the wrath of God against sin in order that you and me might know the forgiveness of our sins. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that thrill your heart? Doesn't that cause you to thank God for sending his Son? And thank Christ for willingly come? He knew all that lay before him. He knew the price that he would be called upon to pay. Yet he came without a moment's hesitation. And he willingly went the whole distance and laid down his life for you and me there on Calvary's cross. He purchased eternal redemption. How do we know that it works? Well, God raised him from amongst the dead. I remember I've told this story to the Christians here before about a man who was in an art gallery. And he was looking at a famous painting of the crucifixion of Christ. And he was just staring at this picture. And a little boy came up to him. And presuming the man didn't know the story of the cross, he told the whole story of the birth of Jesus and the fact that he died on the cross and paid the penalty for our sins. And then the little boy wandered off. And the man just continued staring up at that painting. And he felt a tug on his coattail. And there was the same little boy. And he said to him, "Sir, I forgot to tell you. God raised him from the dead the third day. And he's now seated at God's right hand in heaven." Listen, if you and I could visit heaven today, and we can't, but if we could, there's a man on heaven's throne as real as this podium, in a real human body. That's the proof that Christ can save. So, we've seen the necessity of salvation, the provision of salvation. What about the requirements of salvation? Well, we read again, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Before I give you the answer, I'll tell you about a gospel tract I've seen. It has that very same question on it. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And it's a four-sided tract. And if you open it up, inside are two blank pages. And you would think, well, maybe it was a printing error that they didn't manage to print it. But when you turn to the back page, there's writing on the back page. And it goes on to say that the work has all been done. The work was done by Christ on the cross. We don't have to do anything. But that's not altogether true. We do have to do something. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The answer wasn't nothing. The answer was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." You see, the believing is what we have to do. God's not going to believe for us. We have to do the believing. I can't believe for you. You can't believe for me. Each one of us must come to a moment in our realization where we understand that we are lost and on the way to hell. And the only way that we can know what it is to be saved from going down to hell is by depending solely upon Christ and what he accomplished upon the cross. Do you get it? We must trust him implicitly for salvation. Can I ask you the question again? Can you remember the day when you were saved? Can you remember what took place that day? Because if you can't remember it, most likely it never happened. I heard the story of a group of Christians after a gospel meeting. They'd gone round to someone's house and they were sitting in a circle and singing hymns, and then they had a what they called a testimony time. And they went round the circle. Each one was to give their testimony. And they came to this young woman. It was her turn. She said, I was saved when I was about 3. And I can't remember it. You'll have to ask my mother about it. There was silence in the place. If it happened, you'll remember it all right. It's something you'll never forget. Even through eternal ages, you will never forget that tremendous moment when you trusted Christ. Listen, you must be saved. It's absolutely essential that you be saved. You'll never be in heaven if you're not saved. Finally, the scope of salvation. How long is salvation? How long is salvation? Well, Hebrews 7:25 says, He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. I like the expression, He saves from the guttermost to the uttermost. He'll save you completely. I was saved, as I said, in September 1958. I was as safe that day as I will be when at last I'm in heaven. Oh, I wasn't as happy. Mind you, I can hardly understand being more happy than I was that day. But I'll be far more happy when at last I'm in. I couldn't even endure such happiness in the body that I'm in right now. I'm sure it would kill me to be so happy. But we'll be able to be that happy in heaven. But I was as safe then as I will be when I'm in heaven. I was as safe then as I am today after 64 years. But you know what thrills me even more? I'm as safe after 64 years as I was on that day. You see, once I trusted Christ as my Savior, I had committed the keeping of my soul to Him. Now it didn't depend on me. It depended entirely upon Him. It's Him I'm relying upon to get me to heaven. He is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost all who come unto God by Him. If you've never come, why don't you come tonight? You could come tonight. You could come while you're sitting there. I remember a conference in West Bank, BC many, many years ago. I was the last speaker in the gospel. And after I had finished preaching, I gave out a hymn. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. And I said to the audience, you could come while you're singing those words. You could make them your prayer. And there was a lady sitting near the front, and the tears were pouring down her cheeks. And while we were singing that hymn, she trusted Christ as her Savior. You can trust Him right where you sit. We love you. We want to see you in heaven. May God bless His word to each one. Thank you.